Take your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. We're studying the fruit of the Spirit together. And we've come to the next word in that fruit, Galatians chapter 5. We'll read again verse 22 and 23 together. You know, all of these characteristics in the Bible is the very meaning of spirituality. It's really what it means to be spiritual. This is wrapped up in the character of Jesus Christ, God's character that He wants to impart to His children. If you're not saved, God can save you and change your life and put this in your life. Without salvation, you cannot have these things, but God does want to impart them to us. And so this morning we're looking at gentleness, but let's read it together. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." What is gentleness? I would say, if you would think about it, you could think about what is the opposite of gentleness, and you would sort of have an idea. I would think that cruelty would be the opposite of gentleness. You know, we live in a cruel world. People are very cruel. And the cruelty not only takes a violent term, and of course violence would be the opposite of gentleness, but people can be cruel in other ways, not just physically, but they can be cruel verbally. And the Bible talks about how God wants to work gentleness in our life. I would say you're not a gentle person if you're out of control. What an out of control world we have. We not only have a cruel world and a violent world, and that violence you're going to continue to see more and more. It doesn't matter who is in Washington, D.C. or what the laws are, because man without the Spirit of God will never be gentle. He is a raging animal. That's exactly what he is. Only the Holy Ghost can make people gentle. That's what we're seeing in this text. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Opposite of gentleness would be someone that is severe, someone that is harsh, someone that is vengeful. Now, having said that, I need to clarify a couple of things, that gentleness does not imply that someone is a pushover. You can be gentle, but that doesn't mean that you're going to allow others to dictate the convictions and conscience of your life. Gentleness is not the lack of conviction. Some people think, well, I'm a gentle person, so that means I just don't stand on anything. Well, see, from the Bible, that's not at all what gentleness is. Gentleness is not an abrogation of defending oneself or one's family. You can be a very gentle person, but if someone comes to harm you or your family, that doesn't mean that there is no defense mechanism in your heart. That's not what he's saying when he says about gentleness. God's a gentle God, but in the Bible there were many times where people came to wrath and judgment. And so when we talk about gentleness, we're not talking about being soft on sin. We are not talking about the refutation of Christian militancy. You can't just look at one thing and get overboard with it in the Bible. You got to look at all the Bible. The Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith. You say, how can I be a fighter and yet be gentle? You can, and I'll show you that in just a moment. You know, David was a fighter. I mean, David killed so many people. I mean, God called him a bloody man. I mean, if you really got into the Bible about all David did and who he was, and I mean, you'd think, man, this guy right here, he is just so harsh, he's so severe. You know what God calls David? The sweet psalmist of Israel. How can you be sweet and yet have killed so many people? And we're going to see in a moment that gentleness is not the absence of boldness. Boldness is something that all of God's people should have. And just because you're bold does not mean you're not gentle. Some people look at strong preaching or straight preaching and they say, well, that's the opposite of gentleness. And I want you to turn with you in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's strange how Galatians and 2 Corinthians work together. And we are in the book of 2 Corinthians together. And we'll read a verse tonight and look at it before we have our communion time together. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I see a duality, a dual nature, if you please. You know, when you look at Jesus Christ, he's the whole package. I mean, every characteristic you ought to have, you have it in one place in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never imbalanced. You know what's true? That a lot of times we're either too bold or not enough bold, or we're too gentle or not even nearly gentle. And that can only be balanced out by the Spirit of God. Only the Holy Ghost can make you both things that you ought to be. Only God can put all those qualities in your life that need to be there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it reads like this, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, look at it, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. We'll see a little bit. Paul had a very gentle streak to him because he was filled with the Spirit of God. The life of Jesus was working through him. He was becoming more like Christ. And when he dealt with people like Jesus would deal with people. And he was gentle. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now watch it now. Look at your Bible. Who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Do you see that? Verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Drop down to verse 9. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. This is the truth about the Apostle Paul. I think it's true about Jesus Christ. I think it should be true about every servant of God. There ought to be some boldness about you. And when Paul preached the Bible, or when Paul wrote the scripture, the letters of the Word of God to people, it was almost terrifying. It was so bold. It was so straight. It was so deep. It was so heavy. It was so right. It was so truthful. But yet, when they got in his presence, he was gentle with them. You know, Jesus was that way. You know, Jesus had gentleness, and yet he also had boldness. And if you're going to be like Jesus, you can't have one without the other. Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about it this morning, is the Lamb of God, right? You can't get anything more gentle than a lamb. A lamb is not going to chase you or bite you or kill you. Nobody goes up to a lamb and says, oh, I'm scared. Look at the little lamb. Unless they have another problem. But lambs never hurt anybody. A lamb is gentle. I mean, it's just as gentle as it can be. I wonder, why do people not have pet lambs instead of pet dogs? I mean, stuff comes in my brain sometimes that just comes right out, you know. I mean, dogs can kill you, right? Maybe they have dogs to help keep the bad people away. I can understand that too. But the most gentle thing you could have would be a little lamb. And the Bible says that Jesus is that Lamb of God. But you know what the Bible also says about Jesus? He's also a lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, how can you be a lamb and be a lion at the same time? Because God's character is perfectly balanced. He's bold and yet he's gentle. He's loving and yet he judges sin. He loves righteousness and hates iniquity. He's interested in people. He wants to help. He's gentle and he's kind and yet he's bold. You know, if some people overlook the boldness of Jesus, because we'll preach about the gentleness of the Lord, but I mean, time would fail me to talk to you about how bold Jesus was. All you have to do is read John chapter 2, see what he did in the temple. That doesn't look very gentle, right? I mean, when he's whipping people, you say, well, what a gentle Savior, right? When he's throwing people out of the building, When he's overturning the table, you say, oh, what a gentle man. It didn't look that way, but he was gentle. But there was a time that he needed to be bold, you see. When in Mark chapter 7, you can read Matthew 23. I mean, his bold speech, wow, what he preached and how harsh it was to the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm telling you, some of the harshest words any man ever preached. But he was still a gentle man with people. He would go in the Pharisee's house and he'd sit down with him and he'd try to love him and reach him. But he'd preach the devil out of him. You see, he had a perfect balance there. You say, well, that was just with the Pharisees and with the scribes that he was so harsh. The religious hypocrites, oh, no. You can see some of that seemingly with his own disciples. You ever read the story after the resurrection down the Emmaus Road? How Jesus talked to those two disciples. They didn't know who he was in his resurrection body. You wouldn't have come across with that conversation saying, what a gentle individual. His speech was bold, but he was trying to be gentle with their hearts, you see. He did the same thing with the rest of the disciples after the resurrection. The Bible tells us that he upbraided them, last chapter of Mark. He upbraided them for the hardness of their heart and their unbelief. But it was not because he wasn't kind. It was not because he wasn't gentle. He was perfectly balanced. I'd say this, the harshest preacher that I ever knew in my life, he's in heaven now. Oh, he was hard, Judy. He'd get right in your face and preach so hard. I mean, his sweat, I won't do it, Miss Denny. His sweat would just sling over, you know. I mean, he'd just preach. He would preach. He'd preach so hard and you'd sit there and you'd go, oh, oh, oh. Because you know what? You were getting hit. Your sin was getting hit and it hurt. Man, I never saw anybody preach that hard in my life. Rip, snorting, stomping, preaching. By the way, that's how our country was founded. On good preaching, hard preaching. Billy Sunday wasn't a pushover. Amen. I mean, those of our day, the Oliver Greens and the Roloffs, and, I mean, those are hard preachers. People that founded the so many great things in our country for truth and right were hard preachers. But that didn't mean they weren't gentle. That man I'm talking about, oh, he was so hard. But nobody was as kind and as gentle and loving with me in my life when I was in his presence. It's just one thing to hear the bold speech. It's another thing to be in his presence. You know what some people have found out, and I think, you know, I don't preach like I did when I was 22. I tell you that, I don't. I'm a pushover now. I really am with my preaching. But even sometimes the things God wants me to preach and some things God wants me to say, somebody gets the idea, oh, wow, what a bear. You know, I could never sit. I've even had people tell me that. I'm really nervous about coming and talking to you. Why? Well, you know, you preach. I'm not going to scream at you when you sit in my office. You got to know the difference between preaching and relationship, you see. I mean, you know, we'll preach the word of God and preach like God. But when you go out the door, I don't say, now you better listen to what I'm not doing that when you walk out the door. You know what I'm supposed to be? I'm supposed to be as gentle as I am bold. As gentle as I am bold. And so when we look at the character of Jesus, we see gentleness, we see boldness. When we see the Apostle Paul, we see his gentleness, and yet we see his boldness with what he preaches, what he says. But I want you to think for a moment about this gentleness of Christ. Think about how gentle Jesus has been with you. Aren't you glad he's not always been bold with you? He's been gentle with you. You know what? The disciples came one day and said, let's just kill all those people. They don't want to hear you, Lord. We'll call fire down from heaven. You know, we live in a world like that. We live in a world that's not interested in Jesus Christ. We live in a world, they're not interested in the Word of God. The world is not interested in the things of God. Well, just forget all about it. Let's just let them go on to hell. And when the disciples said that, Lord, we're coming to this place and they don't want you in that town. And they don't want you to preach down there. And they're censoring you and they're rejecting you. And let's just call fire down from heaven. And Jesus, listen, Jesus, in his gentleness said, I'm not come to destroy men's lives. I've come to save them. How many times was the Lord so gentle with a sinner? Can you see his gentleness with that woman that was taken in adultery? He was gentle with her, was he not? And yet that gentleness, he was not overlooking her sin. He was not condoning her sin. Matter of fact, he told her right to the face when everybody left. He said, go and sin no more. He told her not to sin. He had dealt with her sin, but he dealt with her so gently about her sin. Did he not? I'm not here to condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Why did he say that? Because he wants to save her life. He wants to change her life. He loves this one that's been destroyed by sin. You see the gentleness of God in the prodigal. I tell you what, guys. If I had a child that left home and took half of the inheritance. You know what? Look, guys. You know how much the prodigal cost the father? I mean, listen. All that stuff that the father had prepared and the father had saved. Listen now. And the father had worked so hard for. And the father had been honest and diligent and had the character. And maybe probably worked all of his life to have all this. And then the son says, give me what belongs to me. I want half of it. And so the father gave it to the son. And you know the story. He just wasted all that. Just wasted it. Just blew it. By the way, that takes another connotation. How many people, they just blow things? I mean, you talk about with your nose. You know, our drug-infested society, how much is wasted? People just blowing something, sucking something up their nose, putting something in their veins, just wasting. I mean, all this theft and stuff we have, and people, destruction of property and thievery. You know what all that waste is about? Somebody trying to fix their drug habit. Trying to get another fix. What a waste. That's exactly what this prodigal did. He wasted everything. And he comes back to his dad. How gentle was his father with him? Maybe if it had been us, we'd say, hey, I told you what was going to happen. How dare you waste all of my money and then come back to this house? He wasn't that way, was he? Now, certainly the prodigal repented. Certainly the prodigal had a change of heart. He comes back to the father, and the father so gentle with him. Guys, you and I, he was the same way with David. How gentle was God with David in his sin? Not just with Bathsheba, with his numbering the people. God, you know, the Bible tells us, and this is a Psalm of David, Psalm 103, I think. The Bible says that he hath not dealt with us after our sins or according to our iniquities. God's not been dealing with us fairly as sinners. He's been very gentle with you. Thank God for his gentleness that God is not some big old ogre looking down over heaven trying to squash people. God is a God of forgiveness. God is such a gentle God that he wants to give forgiveness to his people and forgiveness to those that don't even want it. He has a tender heart. That's why the Bible calls his mercies tender mercies. He's so gentle with sinners. Guys, He's not dealt with us according to our sins. He's not given us what we've deserved. Have you ever stopped to think how gentle God's dealing with you? How easy he's dealing with you instead of what we deserve today. I'd say this about the gentleness of Christ. He's a gentle shepherd. He leads gently. The Bible even says that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He gently lead the flock. He doesn't drive the flock. He doesn't beat the flock. He gently leads the flock. This is the way we're going to go. He has a very humble spirit, a very meek spirit with his flock to gently lead them. And he doesn't force them. And guys, that's where that little phrase comes. We used to have it in the South, you know, Southern gentleman, you know. And that's a word that's going out of style or to be a gentleman. You know what it means to be a gentleman? You're not forcing yourself on anybody. You know what? You know what God gets such a bad rap? God is blamed for all of the terror and wickedness and heartbreak and pain and suffering and disease. God, why don't you do something about it? And people that blame God for that don't understand that all of that is a result of man's sin. Not God's wishes, but man's deeds and actions. And somebody says, well, why don't God just go in there and change it and stop it and control it? Why don't he make it like this? Because if he did, he wouldn't be gentle. And if he did, you know what? If God made men and made circumstances go away, you know what humankind would say? They'd say, God's a tyrant. God forces people to do this. And even if it was for their own benefit, if God forced people so they couldn't hurt anybody and so they couldn't sin and hurt themselves or other people, they'd look up to heaven and God and say, oh God, what a tyrant you are. Why can't you let us have our own way? And God is not a tyrant. God is gentle, and he is a gentle man. He will not force you. He will not drive you. He will try to gently lead you and say, come this way and walk with me and come to me and follow me. But he's gentle. He won't force you. And if you want to ruin your life, he'll let you ruin your life. And if you don't want to have anything to do with him, then you won't have anything to do with him. If you want to go to hell, he'll let you go to hell. He is a gentleman. He's not someone that forces people. He's a God. His gentleness causes him to forgive. His gentleness causes us to gently lead us instead of force us. You know, sometimes I wish God would force things, you know. But he's gentle. By the way, we ought to think about that, how we interact and deal with other people as well. Because what we read this morning is that the Spirit of God is trying to work that character of God in my life so I will be gentle with others. So that I will be forgiving with others. So I won't be forceful with others. Look at 1 Thessalonians, will you? So we see the gentleness of Christ. I want to show you the gentleness of Christian service or the gentleness of how you're supposed to interact with others. You know, dads, husbands this morning, you've got to be the head of your house. You've got to lead. You have to set the example. You need convictions. You need to put boundaries for the safety of your own home. You need to have the boldness to do right and stand up for God in your own house. But at the same time, you need gentleness in your home. God, deliver our children from fathers who aren't gentle. Amen. God, help us to have a home that's a gentle home. And by the way, that's not just true about fathers. That'd be true about mothers. I mean, you know, some of the scariest things in the world are she-bears. You can acknowledge that. That's true. I mean, you don't want to get in the way of a she-bear. That is the epitome of not being gentle. You know, you can be firm with your kids and still be gentle with them. You say, how in the world is that possible? You've got to have the Spirit of God. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, watch the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. He said, we were gentle among you, like a nurse. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a little boy and I had a boo-boo, I did not go to my dad for help. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? When I had a loose tooth, can I get a witness on that right there? When I had a loose tooth, I didn't go to dad and say, dad, this tooth, because you know what dad would do? All right, there you go, son. No, I'd go to mom. And she looked at me and said, mom, be careful. Right? Go easy. Be gentle. Right? It's probably a good thing that the majority of people that are in the medical community that are drawing blood and sticking shots and stuff are women and not men, you know. Can you see that? You know, I'm sure the army's like, come on in here, pop,
Boom. All right, next. Pop. How would that be? You go in the doctor's office and want to say, sit down. No, what do they do? You know what? And with the kids, you know, you remember those little owls with the big eyes that went back and forth? Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Man, I'm old. You sit down in the chair and the nurse has a little kid and they don't want you to look, you know, when they take your blood or give you a shot. Look over there and there's a little stupid clock it's going back and forth and this owl's eyes is going like this and you're looking at that and they do it while you're looking. Or I've even seen this. I remember I had to get a shot for something years ago, and you know they pinch first and then put it in the pinch, make it feel better. Well, some people not that gentle; they don't care. Just pop it in there, you know. You know the dentist. How about that? Is that a good illustration of gentleness? You know, if the dentist is going to numb all that stuff up before they go in there. I've been overseas where I didn't get all that. Yeah. And you want to say, where's the gentleness? You know, you can deal with things one or two ways. And Paul said, when I was with you, I was gentle among you. He said, well, you know, God is a male. Yes. Yes. He's not confused about his gender. He's a male. But you know what the Bible says about God? He knows how to be gentle because he's such a great God. He's more gentle than your mother. As a matter of fact, you know what he told the children of Israel? I'll read it to you. He said, I preached a message one time on the motherhood of God. He said in Isaiah chapter 66, he said, verse 12, I will extend peace to her like a river in the glory of the Gentiles. He said, they'll be born on her sides and dental on her knees as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you and ye shall be comforted. God says, I know how to be gentle with you. I know how to comfort you. I know how to meet your needs. I'm telling you today, tonight, to this morning, that God is a gentle God. And he's been very gentle with you in your life, if you'll stop and look at it. He didn't just pop in the shot. He didn't just let the events unfold. He's been gentle in our life. And we ought to thank him and we ought to praise him and we ought to appreciate the gentleness of God. And he's not rewarded us after our iniquities. And he's been kind and understanding. And he's been so very patient with us. And we ought to say, Lord, help me to be like you so I can have that come out of my life. Help me to be gentle with others. He says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. This is hard, but be gentle unto all men. Gentle unto all men. He said in Titus 3:2 that those people that were leading the church, they need to be gentle and not be brawlers. There's something wrong with a Christian that's always wanting to pop somebody in the mouth. Now, that you know what? There have been some people that God's changed that used to pop people in the mouth. And they still have it in them if the timing's right. But you think about the Apostle Paul that just said, as a nurse, he said, I was gentle with you. You know the great change that had to happen in Saul's life to be gentle with anybody? You know what Saul used to do? He used to kill people. He drug people out of their homes and took them to jail that believed in Jesus. How can you go from dragging people out of their homes and destroying their house and invading their private property and holding the coach while they're stoning Stephen with a smile? How can you go from that to be gentle with people? And that's exactly the reason the Bible says it's the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus can change you. The Holy Ghost can change you. You can be the hardest, meanest person in the world, but he can make you gentle. I don't know what your problem is, but whatever it is, if you'll get to God, he can change it. You say, well, that's just not the way I am. Well, that's the way God can make you become. And we don't want God to be severe or harsh or vengeful with us. We want him to be vengeful. We want him to be gentle with us. He says that wisdom that's from above is first pure. And he goes down the list. He says it's gentle. I wonder this morning, how gentle are you? To interact with others, we've got to be gentle. It's not a compromise of belief. It's not an overlooking of sin, but it's being gentle with people because we want them to get to God's forgiveness. We want to get them to Jesus. Go to Psalm 18, would you? One other place. I see the gentleness of Christ. I see the gentleness of Christian service. And then there's a very strange verse in Psalm chapter 18 about gentleness. I'm sure on the internet, when people go to click a message, the ones that they're probably not going to reach for are the fruit of the Spirit. You know why? Because that's not really what interests us. We're interested in the controversial. We're interested in the deep things that we don't know. We don't want to hear this character of Christ that we really need in our life. Psalm chapter 18, again, a psalm of David. And again, I already told you the balance that was in David's life. That man who cut, can you imagine the man that cut the head off of Goliath, that God would talk to him or about him in a gentle way? He said in Psalm chapter 18, David is writing under inspiration of the Spirit of God. And in verse number 34, I'll read that first. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arm. I tell you what, if you ever doubt David's strength, you just read that. You say, how in the world? I remember we were translating the Romanian. This is free. I remember we were translating the Romanian Bible. We were translating. They didn't have a correct Bible. It didn't have anyone at all. And we're working on it. And we got to this. And the guy said, there's no way that David can break a bow of steel. Nobody can break steel. That's a mistranslation. We have to change that. I said, no. There ain't no way a man can grab a hold of a bear and kill him either. There's no way that a man can grab a hold of a lion and kill him with his bare hands either. And there's no way that a guy can take a little slingshot and throw it and sink all the way down, amen, in a 10-foot tall man's head and cut his head off. God did all of that. God strengthened David. God made him strong, just like he made Samson strong. Somebody said, I don't even know if steel was around back then. Just believe the Bible and throw all that other stuff away. I believe if God put a bow of steel in David's arms, he could just break them. Because God gave him the power and God gave him the strength. I mean, how can you kill 10,000s of people? You take our best SEAL, our best Navy SEAL. You take all of our trained warriors and special forces. And if they added up all the people they killed, I mean, even go back to World War II, the guys that had the best kill numbers and all that. You're not going to find anybody killing 10,000 people by themselves. And David doesn't even have a machine gun. He got a sword. How's a man do that? God made him strong. God made him strong. God taught him to fight. But look at the next verse, verse 35. Thou hast also, you see. Psalm 18:35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. Look at your Bible. And thy gentleness hath made me great. There are people that read this verse and they saw this, thy gentleness hath made me great, and they scratched their head and they said, we don't understand that. And so from time immemorial, people have been changing that word gentleness, because it's like it doesn't fit, doesn't make sense. What does that mean? Thy gentleness hath made me great. But yet, it may be strange in the mind of man, but that's exactly what happened in the life of David. Before David got to be so great, God was so gentle with him and brought him on that path of greatness through his gentleness. You say, how is that? When God chose him. When God chose him. I mean, his dad didn't invite him in the house. Guys, look, when Samuel came to the house, and he says, all right, I want all the kids here. And they bring all the kids here, and one of them gets left out on purpose. How do you think that made David feel? And he's going, Samuel says, it's none of these. And Samuel has to ask, are these all your kids? And he says, there's one more. How do you think that made David feel? The runt of the family that nobody wants in the house. But he's out there, and God's so gentle with David in all that rejection by the family. He chooses a man that is in a docile setting. He chooses a man that's just tending to the flock of his sheep. He chooses a man that is in a serene pasture. And God is gentle in David's life as he communes with him out there in that field. And though David is rejected, and by the way, that continued. You remember when David's brothers got sent to the army? And they're all fighting, and then David goes, and he's the delivery man, bringing the cheeses and the bread and all that stuff, and he comes there, and boy, they just give him what for. They just said, oh, you're naughty boy, you're a wicked boy, you're just proud, and you're out here watching everything, go on home. He's rejected. You know what God's doing the whole time, though, in David's life? He's encouraging David. In the midst of his rejection, he's fellowshipping and he's being gentle with David and helping David. How about when David even comes into the kingdom of Saul, and Saul hates him, and Saul's cruel to him, and Saul's mean to him, and Saul wants to kill him. Watch how God so gently encourages David. Get this. Saul, King Saul, wants to kill David. And yet two of Saul's children, God gently works in their heart where they're a comfort to David. Jonathan becomes an encouragement. Why? Because the gentle God above put a person in David's life to gently comfort him in the midst of his sorrow. He sent him Michal, the daughter of Saul. And at the initial stage there, they're coming to kill him. And Michal helps him, and Michal hides him, and Michal helps him escape. Because in God's gentleness, he's encouraging him along. How about when he runs away? He doesn't have any provisions. And he comes to the priest's place and they don't have any food. And the men don't have any food. And God is so gentle with David. And God lets David eat the showbread that's not even lawful for somebody. And God never scolds him. And Jesus, when he brought it up, he didn't even scold David. You know why? Because God is being so gentle with David that he even gives David the provision from the altar of showbread, his own bread, to encourage him and lift him up and help him along. He goes down the road and people continue to be so mean to David. Nabal. I mean, David hides and shelters and is safety for Nabal's flocks. And Nabal comes out there and he won't give him a thing and casts it in his teeth. It hurts David. And a gentle God says, my servant needs encouragement. Hey, Abigail, your husband is a wicked, mean old man, but you're a sweet woman. Abigail, get something sweet together and go take it to David, because I gently want to encourage him and help him along, and I don't want him to go down that path of vengeance and anger. Abigail, get all that together. And Nabal's wife, Abigail, got all that stuff together, and she runs to David. And the gentleness of God didn't have to do that for David to assuage his anger. A sweet woman comes to David and says, here, this is for you, and this is for all your men, and I'm so sorry. My husband's wicked, he's wrong, and I apologize. I want to find grace in your sight. And you know what? God killed her husband dead, amen, and sent that sweet woman to David to continue to be a gentle encouragement to him. What I'm trying to tell you is God didn't have to do all those things in David's life. He's doing that because he loves David and he's a gentle God. And I don't know if you can see it on all your path of life, but God is trying to be gentle in your life and helpful in your life. How about some of us when we started out? Remember when you first started to pray and how pitiful your praying is? You know how gentle God was? If God was like some of us, said, quit that praying, that's stupid. You don't even know how to pray. You don't even know how to use the right words. You repeat yourself all the time. Can't you get it together more than that? You pray to be heard of men. You know, God didn't scold us when we started out in the Christian life and we failed. I mean, we who had the first lesson you ever taught, or the first sermon you ever preached, or the first thing you ever tried to do for God, it was probably pretty pitiful. But you know what a gentle God did? He didn't even scold you. He didn't even get mad at you. He didn't even tell you how awful a job you did. You know why? He's a gentle God. He puts up with us. He's patient with us. He's kind with us. He's gentle with us, and He leads us along. Yeah, just keep praying, keep serving, keep living for me. Because we try and fail and try and fail, and the gentle God is just patient with the babes and says, that'll be all right. David says, thy gentleness, Lord, hath made me great. God, you're such a gentle God. I came out of no family at all, and you put me in the biggest family in the world. And my family, the line and lineage of David, is such a great... What you have enriched me with a wonderful family. What a gentle God. You know, God could have saved you from hell and not put you into His own family, to put you in a wonderful family. What a gentle God to bring us as sinners, as wicked and vile, into His own family and into His own house. Only a gentle God would do that. Not only that, He gave David the power and He gave David victory. And it was a gentle God that allowed the victories in David's life to mount up. He gave him the throne. He gave him wealth. God didn't have to do any of that to David. And David just says, all along the path of my life, God has been a gentle God with me. And it's made me great. I wonder who in our lives we can bring into the wealth of the Lord. I wonder who in our lives we can bring into the family of God. I wonder who God's put in our path that our gentleness can make an impact upon their life. I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I want you to stand for God and be bold as a lion. The righteous always are. Don't give an inch in this fight against sin and wickedness in society. But at the same time, church, we have need of gentleness. And only the Holy Ghost can do it.